Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trial. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up. You are listening to Colombo Chronicles Live, and it is Wednesday, September 5th, 2018. And it's about noon over on the west coast of the good old USA. And that would be 3 to 4 p.m. that we're on live over on the east coast. And you'll need to check your states and your countries for the time zone in your areas. And we welcome everyone from around the world. And the most important thing, of course, in the world to everyone is children. Everyone is concerned about the children. Well, not the pedophiles, but everyone else is worried about the best interest and the safety and monitoring the welfare of minor children. And it is a huge problem today. It is very, very big, not just in the United States of America, but around the world. And we hear more and more and more exposure, especially since the 90s, when the Franklin cover-up was becoming more popular and known to the public. Huge, huge scandal worldwide of wealthy people, politicians, and business owners who were involved in pedophilia and trafficking children, using them for sex, and as well as drug couriers and for prostitution and so forth. So nothing good comes out of trafficking females, children, or humans, period. Many of those children are never seen again, never found again, and they go missing forever. So I want to talk about that just a little bit today. Before we enter into the world of authors and experts, because we have a fabulous guest today. And her name is Zane Hughes, and she is an author. And she wrote the book Redemption. And she's going to tell us the other side of the story, the truth behind the Michael Jackson child molestation allegation. And I think we all want to know the other side of the story, because not all court cases bring out all the evidence, nor do they bring on all the witnesses, nor do they always tell 100% the truth, especially if it could involve a celebrity, a wealthy celebrity, a wealthy CEO, or just about anyone who has a political name or a Hollywood connection to know the truth about these stories, because these are serious allegations lodged against people. And let me give you a little bit of history about the author. Her name is Geraldine Hughes. She is one of Los Angeles's top legal secretaries. In fact, she worked for Barry Rothman, the attorney who represented the father of the little boy who accused Michael Jackson of child molestation in 1993. She is a 23-year veteran of litigation and a legal secretary with later experience as a law office manager. She's also an aspiring gospel singer, songwriter, who was called to the mission field. Ms. Hughes is currently fulfilling her ministry, and it is a call to help the urban areas such as in Watts, where she works with at-risk children. And so this is her mission, and this is her working with the urban missionary and working with at-risk children. This is her mission in life as well. And it appears that the other mission in her life is to make sure that the world hears the other side of the story, child molestation allegations. And in fact, on her book, it says, "This is sure to be a controversial book." And that was by New York Daily News, Mitch Fink, as well as a quote, "I believe totally that Michael Jackson would be vindicated." That was Elizabeth Taylor. The other quote was, "Michael Jackson framed?" with a question mark. And that was Mary Fisher, GQ magazine. So in just a little bit, we will enter into the world of authors and experts with our very special guest. And she's going to tell us more about her book, Redemption. So right now, let's enter into the world of NAMBLA, because NAMBLA is an organization that my former organization, which is inactive at this time, but it was a grassroots movement that I began and 20 years ago, and it became inactive about 2004 as I decided to do other things like writing books and talking about the legal system and the injustices that affect our very lives. But NAMBLA was one of the organizations that we focused upon because most of our members were members who were going through family law courts, custody cases. And many were having their children taken away, especially non-offending mothers who file for divorce and happen to accuse their husbands of, or their partners, of child molestation. So these children were taken away. They were put in foster homes, and not all foster homes are safe, nor are all foster parents. And since Nancy Schaefer's report came out, former senator who passed away under mysterious circumstances. Her and her husband were shot to death in their bed under mysterious circumstances. After she reported a scathing report about Child Protective Services and how some of the workers in Child Protective Services were taking bribes for children. So they would take away, they would target, focus on certain children and remove them based on accusation only, remove them from the home, from the biological parents, without, in some cases, without a trial. And they would place them in foster care. And many times, the parents never got their children back from foster care. And they were denied. Family members were denied custody of the children in many cases, including the grandparents, in many of these cases, which was another huge complaint against family law courts and CPS. Some children were actually adopted out, and their parents never saw their children again. So that you can also verify and confirm in the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, by a heroic senator, John DeCamp, who I interviewed twice on my radio show, and he discussed these issues of pedophilia and what was going on at Boys Town and Around the World linked to wealthy people and politicians. The North American Man Boy Love Association, NAMBLA, was exposed on my former cable TV show, Women Fight Back, along with a high school teacher whose daughter had been jailed for trying to protect her children from foster care after she accused her husband of pedophilia. And the judge gave custody of the children to the husband, and she ended up going to jail. And so we also presented a factual summary about North American Man Boy Love Association, NAMBLA, to the Commission on the Status of Women back in the 90s. But apparently the system or the American people weren't all that interested in family law court situations. They just believed that the courts were 100% correct, and that if they took your children away from you, that you had to be, that was that. So it was the victims who were actually exposing the problems and trying to gain media attention to the problems and trying to find solutions to the problems. So the North American Man Boy Love Association, NAMBLA, is a pedophile advocacy organization in the United States. It works to abolish age of consent laws, which we are facing today. They wish to abolish the age of consent laws criminalizing adult sexual involvement with minors and campaigns for the release of men who have been jailed because they have been found guilty for sexual contact with minors that did not involve coercion. The group no longer holds regular national meetings, and as of the late 1990s, to avoid local police infiltration, the organization discouraged the formation of local chapters. Around 1995, an undercover detective discovered there were 1,100 people on this organization's roll. In 1997, NAMBLA was the largest group in IPCE, an international pro-pedophile activist organization. So they just rolled over. Since then, the organization has dwindled to only a handful of people, with many members joining online pedophile networks such as Dan Pedo, BoyChat, Annabella, according to Xavier Von Erk, director of operations at the anti-pedophile organization Perverted Justice. As of 2005, a newspaper report stated that NAMBLA was based in New York and San Francisco. So in the 90s, when NAMBLA was very popular, they used to hold workshops for judges and lawyers. And so this was very disturbing to me, but they managed to do that. And they have always tried to normalize having sex with children, showering with children, as normal, which now relates to Obama and the Clintons and the Bushes and all the rest of the supporters of the bathrooms in the public schools, where they want boys and girls to undress, to shower, and to use the same locker rooms, shower rooms, and bathrooms. So Americans need to wake up and decide if they're going to take control of their own children or not. And on that note, we'll take a break, and I will be back in just a moment. So don't touch that dial.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car... Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up to Columbo Chronicles Live, because today we will be entering into the world of authors and experts, and we will be talking to an expert who wrote the book Redemption. Her name is Geraldine Hughes, and she's going to tell us the other side of the story about Michael Jackson and the allegations made against Michael Jackson of child molestation. So that is going to be extremely interesting, because most of us just heard what the media was presenting to the general public. And so she was an insider, and she never met Michael Jackson, according to her book. But she was an insider, and she knows a lot of information, because she was LA's top legal secretary, who worked for Barry Rothman, the attorney who represented the father of the little boy who accused Michael Jackson of child molestation back in 93. And she's also a 23-year veteran litigation legal secretary with later experience as a law office manager. So we'll look forward to that in just a few moments. And now we're going to talk a little bit more about an organization that I was exposing along with the members of my group, Women Fight Back, entitled NAMBLA. And NAMBLA was pushing the agenda to normalize pedophilia. So they may have been the very first organization in the United States of America to actually come out and push for pedophilia. So this is a serious problem in the USA today, because parents do not want their children kidnapped. They do not want pedophiles kidnapping their children and using and abusing them. These children do not belong to them. They are not the property of pedophiles. And in America, pedophilia is a crime if found guilty. So we need to protect the children, and we need to save the children from any harm. And the interesting thing about the judicial system and apparently allowing this to go on for so many decades is that some people are just accused, and based on accusations, sometimes they are found guilty today, at least in California. You might want to check that out in your state as well. It doesn't mean they're guilty because people are accused of a crime, but if we in America deny people the right to a trial, the right to charges filed, the right to a judge and a jury of their peers, the right to testify, the right of witnesses to testify, or we allow people to be set up by dirty prosecutors who are seeking a feather in their cap, or lawyers who are incompetent, or maybe sell out their clients, all of these things happen, then we're going to be in a world of hurt, because the children are needed in order to preserve the nation. The children are the future generational leaders of a nation. And therefore, we need to preserve babies at birth who are natural born Americans. And we need to save our children from harm so that they can grow up healthy in a safe country and be the leaders of our future generations. So this is what we're striving for the truth. And so this is why I'm extremely interested in this book, Redemption, and hearing the other side of the story. And I'd like you to hear the other side of the story from someone who was in the mix and was able to write this book and share her information with the world. So we're going to take a little break, and then we will be back in just a moment. So don't touch that dial.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
That's right. We don't want to have to send the La Familia to make sure you are listening every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. right here at Blog Talk Radio. And you can tune in to archive shows with experts and authors on just about any topic you can imagine of human interest, whether it's human rights, animal rights, mafia, corruption, love, whatever. You can scroll on down by going to blogtalkradio.com/Columbo Chronicles at any time and at your convenience. So it's interesting because on my Facebook, which you can also check out, it says NAMBLA. It's an organization formed in 1978 based in the United States that believes mutually consensual relationships between grown men and boys. But now we've even crossed over into children. So now I wonder what happened to that report we left with the Commission on the Status of Women back in the 90s that appears to have been ignored somewhat. And so, you know, what more can you do except tell the truth to the media? And if they squash the information, then you're sunk. And you have to find other ways back then, because there was no social media. You had to beat the bushes back then. So we did newsletters, we did reports, we drove them to the FBI, we drove them to certain groups and organizations. We did a lot of public speaking, but just not enough, because you could not reach millions of people in one click like you can today on the internet. But we were out there beating the bushes since the 90s, trying to expose this problem here in the good old USA. And because it wasn't addressed by our Department of Justice, and because some public servants are pedophiles, it didn't get resolved, and more children kidnapped, and more children have never been found again. So we do want to address this problem, and we also want to make sure that people who get accused and are innocent are not found guilty based on circumstantial evidence, that the jury believes or the public believes because of the media exposure that gets out there before people even have their day in court today. And because of that situation, where the media is now presenting the trial on television and on social media before a person has their day in trial who's been accused, many people already form a decision, make up their minds whether the person is guilty or innocent. And in fact, some jurors who have been watching television may make up their minds as well as to the guilt or the innocence of a person, which is unfair in America because everybody is guaranteed a fair trial. So I got a call that our guest is having some technical problems, but we'll continue to try to contact our studio here. And so we will continue on, and hopefully she will be able to get through so that we can hear the other side of the story that she wants to share with us in her book, Redemption. So many things are happening in the world, and so fast. It's just hard to imagine that America is changing and transforming and losing its identity. We have an American identity crisis. We have so many illegals and so many foreigners who came into our country and want to change and transform it into their countries that Americans are battling just trying to keep the public schools in line with U.S. history and with boys' bathrooms, girls' bathrooms, boys' showers, girls' showers. And it's a real problem for the parents and the grandparents today because it appears that the state is taking control of the children rather than the parents. Now, that goes into another issue. Shouldn't the parents have parental rights when it comes to making decisions about their children? Well, unfortunately, like in California, promoting laws and proposing laws and passing laws that deny opt-outs to parents. And when you deny opt-outs to parents, doesn't that mean that the state is taking control of your children? Isn't that what that means? So it's a serious problem for America. And Americans need to be proactive, and they need to get involved with their public schools, and they need to get involved with what's happening inside the public schools and fight back. Stand up on the front lines and fight back for the children, your children. They're the future of this country. And on that note, we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be right back with our very special guest, in authors and experts. So don't touch that dial.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Colombo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Colombo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. go to ColumboChronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, ColumboChronicles.com.
That's right. Remember the name, ColumboChronicles.com. If you have questions about your legal issues, you can get suggestions and guidance and information, but not legal advice. Go to attorney for legal advice, but you can get suggestions from someone who's walked in your shoes, who's been through the injustices, through the legal abuses, and has been on the front lines as a consumer advocate for justice for 25 years, leading marches, protests, proposing laws that were implemented, and who will fight for you and give you the best possible information I can give to you by going to ColumboChronicles.com, filling out the forms, and asking your questions. And on that note, we're entering into the world of authors and experts. And today, as I said, if you were with us previously, before the break, we have a really special guest, and she is an author, and her name is Geraldine Hughes, and she wrote the book, Redemption, and it is the other side of the story. It's the truth behind Michael Jackson's child molestation allegations. And Geraldine Hughes is one of LA's top legal secretaries. She worked for Barry Rothman, the attorney who represented the father of the little boy who accused Michael Jackson of child molestation in 1993. She is a 23-year veteran litigation legal secretary with later experience as a law office manager. She's also an aspiring gospel singer, songwriter, who is called to the mission field. Ms. Hughes is currently fulfilling her ministry call as an urban missionary working with at-risk children in Watts, California. And so let's get started because this is really an exciting book and an exciting topic because it deals with possibly injustice. And, of course, that's my passion. So, hi, Geraldine. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for your patience and reaching
That's
out
okay.
to
Sometimes
me.
Sometimes we
you
have
so
technical
much.
Problems, and you know what they say about the media. The show must go on, and you just keep going
must
on, and
go
things
on.
Work out.
Right. Thank you so much for
yeah,
having me.
Right?
Right.
You're so welcome. You know, Geraldine, I didn't get to read the entire book, but I read as much as I possibly could because it's so exciting and I just love the book. And as you heard me say, you know, my passion is fighting back against injustices and legal abuses. So this book particularly, Redemption, particularly touched me. So one of the first questions I wanted to ask you is not only what made you write the book, because I have an idea of that, but our audience doesn't, so I would like you to explain why you decided to write the book, Redemption, and with that, did you also feel that that was part of a mission, because I see that you do have work with at-risk children as a mission, so is that part of your mission as well to let your truth be known to the world?
That's a very good question. I actually, my main reason for writing the book was because working for Rothman, the attorney that worked for the father of the 13-year-old who accused Michael of the original child molestation charge, I was seeing something totally different than what was being reported, which was being talked about. I didn't see the child molestation allegation playing out behind the scenes. I seen what just looked to me to be a big cover-up, a big scheme, a big, you know, people trying to, the father was trying to get money. And when Michael settled the case, one of the conditions of the settlement was that he had to drop his charge of extortion. So when he dropped his charge of extortion, the facts surrounding the extortion scheme never came out. The only thing you've ever heard about was he was possibly a child molester, but then when he went through the trial, they threw everything into that pot, trying to nab him or trying to, make him accountable of being a child molester, and they didn't succeed because he wasn't one. The only reason he walked away, the real story is the extortion scheme.
So did they actually have him, the child, go under some type of medical examination or not? Do you not remember?
That's what they said. I remember a scheme is something you pretty much, developed your own story and how your own plot but I saw the young kid in my attorney's office behind closed doors for hours, and I said, and it was without the parent, which is unheard of, and I really do believe that that's where the little boy was told what to say, and given how he had to do this or why he had to do it, I don't believe that it had anything, because I was the one that typed the letter to the doctor. They went to the doctor asking the doctor, they said, well, don't you think it's inappropriate for a 36-year-old male to be hanging around with a, let's see, how old was he at the time? I think he was 13. Yeah, he was 13. And so I was the one that typed the letter to the doctor. Well, the doctor's answer was, he couldn't give an opinion without speaking to the 13-year-old. He just said that there was a reason to be suspicious, but he said he couldn't give a conclusive answer. That was the only thing that they had to go and ask Michael for $20 million was a hypothetical letter. That was it. They had already queried the doctor.
Well, just see, in the court system, as you know, they call their own expert witnesses to testify on behalf of, one party or the other, depending on the situation.
Right.
So they aren't going to call somebody that isn't going to testify on their behalf. So that's
right. Number
one, which I don't think most people understand, that they're paying those experts a lot of money to testify and to try and prove their case and their side
their
of the story
case.
So that
right. There's
different words people can use, especially experts who are professional experts in court and testify as experts.
Right.
There are cases where they know exactly what words, without accusing somebody, but they can say certain things that lead people to believe that, they're guilty. So you and I know that, so where you say, the $20 million extortion case was wiped out. So did the media know about the extortion part of it, or did they ignore it? What happened with
that?
Did they know about it before it was, eliminated from the case?
The media,
you remember?
The media knew more than what they were saying, because when I started promoting the book and traveling and going different places, the number one question that people asked me was, well, if he was innocent, why did he pay $20 million? And I told them, I said, he didn't pay $20 million. That $20 million was paid by his insurance company. Most of the media knew that, but they weren't reporting it.
No, that's the first time. Actually, you're the first one that I've ever heard say that.
He not a dime of that money came out of my Cochran was part of the negotiations, and that was the main thing that Cochran was going back and forth with, to find out if his insurance company would pay it, because he had liability, general liability insurance. And when he finally got the green light that they would pay it, that's when they settled the case. They didn't settle the case any sooner than that.
Oh, so the prosecutors knew they were going to be guaranteed $20 million because he had insurance. Basically.
No, the father knew. The father knew.
Oh, the father.
That he was going to get paid.
Father knew.
That they were going to get paid. But, the judge did something very interesting. The judge had to have been suspicious also, because the way he rendered the settlement, he made sure that out of that $20 million, now the parents, they did give, like, I think they gave the father $1 million, maybe the mom $1 million. They got paid. The rest of that money went into a trust account, and no one can touch it until he turned 18 years old. So they never really, you know, the father wanted the money because he wanted to make a movie. That was his reason for it. He needed the whole $20 million because he wanted it. So he didn't bank on that it would be a structured settlement that would be guaranteed to only go to the minor, and that he would only get $1 million. That wasn't enough for him to make him. So his whole purpose for this whole plot, it was never fulfilled, ever, never. And they even said that the father, you know, he became the number one target. He had like 5 or 6 plastic surgeries to, you know, to totally where he couldn't be identified. The young, the accuser, he, you know, he took his money and bought a very, very high security condo in New York. And I think, you know, he's like a prisoner in his own, you know, no one really profited from this whole scheme. No one, it didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to turn out.
Isn't that the truth about litigation, though, that people think they're going to go in with a slam dunk case and then it doesn't turn out the way?
It doesn't turn. It never turned out the way he thought it was going to turn out. He never profited from this. The only one that I can honestly say that probably, you know, could had a little peace of mind, it was Michael. You know, because, you know, had I not been there working for the attorney and seen on the inside what happened, I couldn't. No one would have come forward and said anything. No one would have ever known. And I, you know, because I am a missionary, I have to say it like this so people can understand that when someone is really a good person, anybody could tarnish your name, but if you're really a good person and you're really not trying to hurt people or harm people, and then harm comes knocking at your door, well, it wouldn't be a God in this universe that would allow this to happen without an escape plan. I was the escape plan. And I said it in my book, and I'll say it now. God gave Michael something that he didn't give his accuser. He gave Michael a witness.
Right, and God does do that, and it's amazing to me because that's how these incidents get exposed, because there are people out there that, like you and me and others, who say, okay, you did this, and it's not good, and it's really bad, and you think you got away with it, but one day you're going to be reading about it.
The part that was so funny was when we were coming out with the book, we had no knowledge that they were going to try. Sneddon waited 10 years to change some laws just so he could come back after Michael again. We had no knowledge that while we were coming, my publisher was editing, that they were going to come against him the second time, but they had no knowledge that we was coming out with the book. We both hit in the same month. We both came out in the same month. It was pandemonium because the hype was up there again, trying to say, he did it again. And we were coming out to say he didn't do it the first time.
It's really funny because people think, I want to be rich and famous. But you become a target, too. You can become a target, you know, of people coming after you out of the woodwork, claiming you did this or that, or they're your relative, and da 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 da. Money is really the source of all evil, for sure. So, in your book, I read that you did not ever meet Michael Jackson. Did you meet any of his family?
I didn't meet Michael, but because at the time when they were coming out, we found out they were trying. Sneddon was coming after him. They knew my book was coming out. My book was not out yet. We was doing the last finishing on the book, and I had not received permission. I had been asking for almost 2 years about using that picture that's on the cover, because that picture was given to me by Anthony Pelicano when I came forward the first time. And I just said, this is the picture I want on my book. no one had given me permission. Well, when they found out that that was the only thing holding up my book, Joe Jackson, Michael's father, calls my publisher out of nowhere, and he said, tell Mrs. Hughes she's got permission to use the picture, because they knew that was holding up the book, the press, you know. And so when I when we started interviewing, and I did about three interviews in front of the Encino home with the family. Jermaine Jackson called me. He wanted me to do an interview with him. The first question I asked Mr. Jackson, Joe Jackson, when I met him, I said, well, how did I get the permission? Who gave me the permission? He said he called Michael and said, Michael, the lady that's trying to put the book out, she needs permission to use your photo. He said, Michael said, well, of course she's got my permission. And I had nothing but total support from his whole, from Joe Jackson was my biggest supporter. He took my book all over the world, wherever he traveled, because I would get phone calls and they said, oh, I got this book and, you know, we want to interview you. And I just, Michael just couldn't help me at the time because he was now being charged the second time. And he, and it was quite serious for him. They were really trying to nail him. So he had to concentrate on what he was doing with, and do what his attorneys told him to do. But he gave me the green light. I did every media. I traveled all over the, excuse me, I traveled all over doing conferences, book signings, and just, you know, letting people know that Michael was in this, that he was not guilty. He was the, that Michael was the victim.
What's interesting, too, that people don't realize is that once you get accused of something, some wrongdoing, whatever it is, that it takes a toll on you, not just emotionally, but physically,
right,
too, and financially. So it's a three-step process that all gets convoluted, and all of a sudden you're putting out all this money because you have to pay legal fees. And
right,
it can be cases like this. It can be going to the millions. And then,
right,
you know, and then you're physically and emotional distress. So then how do you go out and perform under that kind of pressure to make more money to pay the legal fees? And it becomes a nightmare because it's a like a revolving door that never stops. You can't get
right
off. You can't get out. You know,
right,
and that's
right
how I see this when I read your book and I look in his eyes, because I just, you know, I just didn't think that he had a fair trial, was my opinion, you know, because of all the media exposure. And don't
right
you think, Geraldine, when you have so much media exposure on TV and radio and in the newspapers or whatever, that they're tainting everybody's mind to be
right
guilty, because once someone's accused, the automatic mindset says, oh, they're guilty, or they wouldn't accuse you.
Right.
Right? And
people
so
assume the worst first.
And so they're not going to look at Michael and believe him, because of course he's going to say, I'm not
right
guilty. I mean, like I would, and you would. And
sure,
so they're going to look at a book like yours, Redemption. And it's by Geraldine Hughes, by the way. And it's telling the other story, the truth behind the Michael Jackson child molestation allegations. And so they're going to look at a book like this, God, and, you know, at least think about, well, maybe we didn't hear
right
the whole story. What do you think about that?
I've been getting that. When I was doing my book signings and a lot of the media that I did do. I mean, I had one interview, 2020 interviewed me. There were about four producers. They were all throwing questions at me. But one producer in particular, I can tell, she probably thought Michael was guilty the way she was questioning. But I had answers, you know, for all of her questions. And when the interview was over, she literally walked me down the hallway and said, I just can't believe they did this to Michael. Once you get the facts and get the truth, it erases all of those lies, because the lies didn't make sense, you know. They were trying to make sense out of something that made no sense whatsoever. There's never just one child that you, a pedophile don't just strike once. there's usually a whole, you know, string of kids that he didn't already, accosted. Yeah,
that's
it's
the
not
truth
just
because
one.
They will tell
Nothing
you, a pedophile will tell you when they're released from prison, they will grab another kid within 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah, it's not, that's why Sneddon, it took him 10 years to find another child, but when the second family came forward and they talked to Sneddon, Sneddon talked to them before he even charged him, and Sneddon found out that they hadn't even slept in Michael's bed. After he talked to them, they went back to Michael's ranch to go sleep in the bed now. Now they're building the case for Sneddon. And, you know, when you just hear the facts of what actually happened, The pedophile scenario does not make sense, but when you hear the truth about the extortion, that's the one that makes sense. That's the one that makes sense because that's the truth. And so even though I travel, I went everywhere and people asked me all kind of questions. I gave them answers, and the number one comment that people made was, I knew he was innocent, I just didn't know the real story. And they were so glad to know what the real story was.
Did you notice any distress coming to the family, at all? I mean, because they had to be just as distressed, because injustices not only affect person being accused, but it affects
right.
the family too, and
right.
and the friends and everybody else around you. It spreads, to everybody, and eventually to the entire
right.
society if there's an injustice done. And so, it's tragic because with Michael's passing. Do you recall the year he passed away?
He passed in 2009. It's been 9 years. This year is the ninth year.
Oh, wow. 9 years. Wow. And so with his passing, and when you heard that particular story, what were your thoughts?
It was disheartening to everyone that especially the family. I know Joe Jackson took it extremely hard. When I found out that he passed, I didn't realize that this journey, this mission that I was on was not just to tell the truth, but it's a truth that needs to be told now. I said it's more than just a book. It's now a movie that needs to be made. And I said this is bigger than just, a book that was written and released and, the story dies. No, the story hasn't been told yet. And I think it's an atrocity that he has passed and the truth still hasn't been told. And so I'm looking at it as a mission right now. I'm not going to really, I don't feel like that this mission is complete until the world knows what the real truth is. And that's why I'm putting forth a lot of energy and effort into seeing it made into a movie. That's my pretty much my mission that I'm on now, so that the world, just like the lie went out, the truth needs to go out all over the world.
Yes, and not everything happens like we think it's going to happen. Once I get this book out or this story, everybody's going to, want to do this or that, but sometimes it takes years, and then
right.
it does happen if you don't give up your passion and your dream to make
right.
it happen, and it will happen. And so, but you can also look at it, Geraldine, as as you have kept his memory alive, plus you have also helped vindicate him, and
right.
but you have also made him out to be an example of what can happen to people if they are not very, very careful in their private lives, because if you're rich and famous, there's no privacy, right?
Right. You can say that one again. He learned, but he learned the hard way. He was so innocent, you know. He just, and we have a tendency to look at people through our same eyes. If you've got, you know, if you're a decent person that would never lie or harm anyone, you actually think everyone is like you. And he just,
true,
you know, he learned the hard way.
Yeah, like many of us do, you know, we learn the hard way, but you know, with his name and his fame and his music and dancing, and he left so much behind that you can, you know, make him an example of how injustices can happen to people, not just to the rich and the famous, but just about anybody, you know. So I think that's a really good thing. And what are your future goals? Are you going to just pursue the movie? Not just. I mean, that's not easy to do. Are you going to pursue the movie?
Well, we've been on this journey for a while, so I believe we have a team right now that can actually make it happen. One of my advisors are advising me to do a second edition of the book to, you know, include. There's so much to include now, and on this whole journey, and I've also been nominated by the Book Publishers of Southern California for an Irwin Award, which is next month. I'm excited about that. It's for the longest sustaining campaign, meaning I have been campaigning this book for it's been 14 years now, so I'm really excited about that as well. And just I'm going to continue to move forward as far as the plans to turn the book into a movie. And just, you know, until the truth is out there, we're not going to stop. Keep telling the truth until everybody knows what really happened back in 1993.
Well, Geraldine Hughes, unfortunately, we came to the end of the segment of authors and experts, but now's your time to shine. I want you to tell the audience any message you have and also where they can get your book or any social media you have.
Oh, okay. I have a website. It's called www.redemptionmj.com. And that's the website where even if they want to purchase a copy of it, but it's a lot of good reading there if you want to read about what I had to say. And news concerning Michael, that's a good place to go. And just basically, just stay positive, stay hopeful. I'm telling anybody that's aspiring to write a book. What led me to initially write it. Someone said there's a book inside of everyone, and just encouraging people to go look on the inside of them and find the book that they have on the inside and write it. That's pretty much what I did.
We're very happy that you did write the book Redemption, and we're looking forward to the second edition because, as you said, many things have happened since over the past 9 years. And, of course, we'll be looking forward to the movie as well. And we'll have you back again, Geraldine, and update us on what's going on. And God bless you, and keep up all the good work that you do with those children as well in Watts, California.
So
you're so welcome.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
And
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.